Well, for 5 years, I served as the director of communications for BC Teen Challenge, which is a Christian organization that walks alongside people struggling with addiction. Teen Challenge has impacted countless lives and families around the world over 60 plus years of ministry. It has a storied past that begins with just a whisper. David Wilkerson, in 1958, was a young, skinny, 26-year-old country preacher. And he heard that whisper. Late one evening, he was in his study and he was praying. And as he was praying, he had this restless feeling as he was pacing around his study. And his eyes kept coming back to a Life magazine that was sitting on his desk. And so he thought it was perhaps a prayer distraction, and so he kept walking around praying, and then he began to sense that God was actually trying to get his attention. And so he walked over to the magazine and picked it up and opened it to this story of seven young teenage boys from a New York gang who were on trial for murdering a 15-year-old disabled boy. It was a major case at the time. The public was understandably horrified by it. And as Wilkerson opened his magazine and he's looked, his eyes locked onto the eyes of one of the boys that was there. As he stared into a face filled with fear and loneliness and despair, something broke inside of Wilkerson, and he began to sob uncontrollably. And then he heard the whisper of God's Spirit, "Go to New York City and help those boys." He got into his car, drove 8 hours from his little rural mountain town in Pennsylvania to the busy streets of New York. He ended up in the courthouse, interrupted the trial, asked the judge if he could talk to the boys. Judge didn't like it and kicked him out of the courtroom. He got banned from coming back and made the front page of the newspaper the next day. Understandably, he was embarrassed and humiliated by it. But it began the adventure of a lifetime, one that was full of miracle stories and healings and transformational stories as addicts and gang members and troubled youth found the love of Jesus. If you can ever get your hands on a copy of Wilkerson's classic book, The Cross and the Switchblade, do it. It's a thrilling read of what can happen when the Spirit of God whispers to us, and page after page after page are filled with these God stories and moments. But here's the thing. When the Spirit of God whispers, anything can happen. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, as we look at a story from the early church and how the whisper of the Spirit changed two lives and how that same whisper can change and connect with our story today. You can follow along on the words behind me, Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me getting baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here in this room. I pray that you would speak to us, that you would whisper to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a lot that's going on in this story, far more than we could cover in one sermon. But I do want us to look at two realities that can happen when we follow the whisper of the Spirit. And that is that he will lead us to unexpected places and with unexpected people. When we listen to the whisper of the Spirit, as Pastor Mark Batterson has written, all bets are off, because you never know who you'll meet, where you'll go, or what you'll do. We may not have any idea where we're going much of the time, but as long as we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll get where God wants us to go. The Celtic Christians of ancient Ireland had a fascinating name for the Holy Spirit. As they tried to describe what he was like and what his actions and whisper were like. And they called him On God Glass, which means the wild goose. Isn't that a fabulous name? The wild goose. A wild goose can't be tracked or tamed very easily. You can't just simply go from point A to point B. But instead, there's this element of mystery and adventure and unpredictability that is rolled up into one pursuit. I think it's an incredible imagery for the type of Spirit-led life that he wants us to live. Well, let me quickly set up the context of the story. The first person that we read about is a guy named Philip. He is not one of the original 12 disciples, but he is a leader and an evangelist, which means he shares the good news about Jesus. He's part of the early first century church that's just beginning to take form and is getting shaped. And earlier in the chapter, we read that Philip has been preaching and talking about the good news of Jesus, and phenomenal results are happening. Crowds are gathering and miracles and healings are taking place. We're told that great joy has come into the city. And so it's this time of celebration and what we would consider to be success. And Philip is right there in the center of it, in the middle of it, the happening place. It's where you want to be. And then he hears a whisper. And the Spirit of God tells him to leave that place and instead to go to a different place. As one scholar has put it over and over again in this passage, but all the way across the book of Acts, we see that while humans tend to draw the circle over here, God is drawing the circle over here. And it becomes this wild goose chase of moving people from this place to that place. And this new place couldn't be any more different than where he's at right now. Philip is asked to leave the city, the crowds, the results, and to go to a desert place. An unexpected place, an uncomfortable place, place that was probably not on his list to travel to, his own plan, his own desire. And I love Philip's response to the call of the wild goose. He says yes, and then he goes. He could have said, yes, I'll go, but not yet. There's still so many good things that are happening here. Let me finish this up and then I'll go. And he didn't say, yes, I'll go, but not that place, not to that person. He could have said, you know what? I'm busy doing this stuff here. This is going great. Why don't you send someone else? There's a Yiddish proverb that says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Philip doesn't do that. He says yes to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, and he goes. Doesn't ask for the plans or details, but instead he follows that whisper to an unexpected place in a beautiful, unexpected story. Bob Goff, an author, puts it this way: no map will take us where God wants to lead us. But it's through those unexpected places that God brings us into beautiful stories. While this is happening, the second person in the story emerges, and it shows us that besides the unexpected places, that God sometimes brings along unexpected people. An Ethiopian court official is traveling back home after an extended trip to Jerusalem, and now Google Maps is pointing him on a route through the desert. And the wild goose sets both of these guys onto a collision course in the middle of nowhere. And their lives are going to connect and intersect in a beautiful, unexpected way. Christian tradition tells us that this man's name is Simeon Bakos. And we know from Acts chapter 8 that he's a high-ranking government official in charge of the royal treasury. He's from Ethiopia, which with today's boundaries would be closer to modern-day Sudan. He's been on a long, long journey from his homeland to Jerusalem, and now he's heading back. Each direction was about 5 months in duration. So he's been on the road for a long, long time. And we're told that he's a eunuch. Now, it's really hard for us in today's terminology and language to really understand what that means. But from what scholars have understood of it, men that were picked for certain roles in a monarchy, especially if they came into contact regularly with the women of the royal family, would often be castrated as a sort of protection insurance that they would not sexually harm the women. Also, by not having the ability to procreate, they wouldn't be tempted to form their own dynasty, especially if they had had access to the royal treasury. We also know that Simeon was on a spiritual journey and had specifically taken this trip to Jerusalem so that he could worship at the temple, so he could find out about this God that he had heard about who spoke for those on the margins, a God who freed people from oppression. And there is something that began to draw him to this place. And that's where the story would have taken a twist. Because on the one hand, because of the nature of his royal position and title, he's got education, he's got status, he's got wealth, he's got the trust of the queen. And on the other side, with this ambiguous sexual identity and gender, and also because of the fact that he's a foreigner, he would not have been welcome to worship at the temple. Jewish laws were very strict on who could enter the temple area, who could come, how close you could get. And so in the very center of it were the Jewish men. And just behind them, the Jewish women. And just behind them were the foreigners. And then on the outside, on the other side of the gate, the eunuchs were excluded altogether. Not welcome. We don't know if Simeon knew this before he started on the trip or if he discovered it when he got there. But we can certainly imagine the pain, the humiliation, the shame, the hurt that would have happened when he realized that he wasn't welcome, that he wasn't invited into that space, that he wasn't going to be included. And now he's returning home and he's reading a passage from the prophet Isaiah about one who would suffer on behalf of his people. And that's the moment when the Spirit of God whispers to Philip, connect, meet. And the Spirit says to Philip, go and join yourself, walk alongside that person in front of you. And there's a couple fascinating words at play here. The first is that phrase, rise up and go, which is really a word frequently used to describe resurrection or new life. And so this is resurrection life that is being spoken into this moment, a new story, stepping into a new movement. And I love it because it's this beautiful foreshadowing that the Spirit is breathing into the situation, saying, we're a place where there is loneliness, deadness. I am going to bring new hope and new resurrection and new life. And then the Spirit says to him, walk alongside. And that word literally means to glue, It's an ancient medical term of taking two wounds and bringing them together, binding them together, almost like stitches. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Here in this unexpected place, the Spirit is bringing healing and life to these broken people. And Philip and Simeon begin this beautiful conversation. Philip hears him reading, asks him, "Do you understand what it means?" And then he starts from that place and begins pointing him gently towards Jesus. And as Simeon hears these words and he discovers that Jesus is opening up his arms to welcome him to a new table, welcoming him to a new family, Simeon opens right up. He melts. He receives this good news, this joyful news, leaning into that and opens his life up to Jesus. And in the middle of the desert, in this lonely, barren place, he finds water and he's baptized into the faith, forever changed. As we can see from the text, there's nothing here about needing fancy answers or detailed plan. It's simply about being open in the moment, listening to what the Spirit of God might be speaking into that situation. And just as a beautiful end cap to the story, we know that Simeon was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. We can only imagine what must have happened when he got to chapter 56 and read these words. "Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will never let me be part of his people.' And don't let the eunuch say, 'I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future.' For this is what the Lord says: I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than sons and daughters could give. For the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear." It's the unexpected moments that most often turn into God moments. I want to share two personal stories where the whisper of the Spirit brought me to unexpected places and people. A number of years ago, I was invited by a friend to go with her to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I'd never been to one before, didn't know what to expect as I walked through the doors. What I did have with me, though, were some good old-fashioned prejudices, some holier-than-thou assumptions. I remember sitting there so uncomfortable in that space. I didn't want to be there. It felt messy. It felt unpredictable. It felt like it was out of my realm of control. And I remember, and this was honestly the God-awful truth, I remember feeling this religious smugness that I hadn't messed up like those people had. And I'm just sitting there, hoping within every fiber of myself that people wouldn't think that I was an addict, an alcoholic. No, I'm here just to support my friend. You know, you guys are messed up. I'm all good. Just carry on. If you could have seen inside of me in that moment, it wasn't pretty. But then I felt a whisper. And it was like the whisper and movement and breath of the Spirit suddenly came into my heart and into this room. And I began waking up to look around and to see where the Spirit of God was at work, even in this unexpected place. And something began to soften up inside of me, and I began to see and experience one of the most powerful, incredible experiences of my life. Began to see this beautiful love of community emerge as people were welcoming one another and hugging one another and calling each other by name with open arms. We were all accepted as equals. Inside, you couldn't tell who was a doctor or a lawyer or a homeless person. Outside the doors, we may have been different, but in this space, we were equals. Everyone there was known not for their success or their image or their achievements. We were here because of our weakness, our brokenness, our failures. And there was this raw admission that all of us were in a place of recognizing that we needed someone other than ourselves. It was one of the most beautifully uncomfortable experiences I've ever had. And I walked away from that meeting with this thought exploding within me. Oh my God, this is community. This is the Spirit of God at work. This is what the church needs to be. This is what the church is supposed to be. And I have no doubt that this is what Philip and the early Christians felt as well. As he began to see the Spirit at work on the margins and the lonely places, as they came awake to this reality that the wild goose was at work, redefining labels and boundaries. And as I left that holy AA space, my final thought was, I've just experienced a first century early church moment. It was incredible. The whisper of the Spirit leading to unexpected places and stories. When our daughter began elementary school, Michelle and I had struck up a friendship with one of the other class moms. And we'd visit together at drop off and pick up and just had some ordinary conversations along the way. And then one day, this mom's sister and her family showed up at the church that we were pastoring in Langley called Urban Road. I want to tell you a little bit of their story and how one whisper can change a life. Penny and her husband Bud and their three children showed up at our movie theater. They were nervous. They were unsure of what to expect as they walked through the doors. But as we got to know them in the coming months, we began to hear more of their story and journey. Penny did not grow up with any spiritual faith of any kind. In fact, her family was very much opposed to anything that had the word Jesus connected to it. But shortly before we met them, Penny began to hear a whisper. She'd recently started a home business, and as part of that, she attended a business conference. And while she was there, speaker after speaker began to talk about not business, but faith and meaning and finding purpose in life. And it began to create a hunger and a longing within Penny and a desire to find out more. And she mentioned to her sister, our friend, that she was feeling something taking place. She said, I can't describe it, but she said, I kind of have a feeling like maybe there's a God or something. And so her sister said, well, I know this couple from school and they're pastors. They seem pretty nice, so why don't you go check out their church? And so Penny and her family did just that, and they began coming every week, began listening, asking questions. And we would sit with them and listen and share, spend time, and gently began pointing them to Jesus. A year later, Penny shared with our community what had taken place over those last number of months. She said, when we first came, it was so hard because you guys would do like this worship music or something and for 10 minutes at the beginning of a service. And she said, we felt so uncomfortable when that was happening. But we were willing to sit through that because by the time you or Michelle would get up to speak, things started making sense and these pieces started falling into place. And then she shared how she and her family had decided to follow Jesus. 6 months later, we had the privilege one Sunday of baptizing their entire family in a hot tub because we love hot tubs. And it's been amazing to watch what has happened in their story. Just a few months ago, Penny got to baptize her own mom. And then just this past summer, they went on a missions trip to Zimbabwe. We have a picture here. Here's the point. When you follow the whisper of the Spirit, you never know where he's going to lead you. You never know where he's going to take you or who you'll meet or what may happen. You never know how your life is going to collide and intersect with another person's life. It could seem small in the moment, but it could change a person's life forever. 3 years ago, we had to make a gut-wrenching decision to shut down Urban Road. And on our final Sunday, Penny came up to us and with tears streaming down her face, She said, thank you for starting this church. She said, if the only reason that Urban Road ever existed was to bring our family to faith, your obedience, your actions in following the whisper of the Spirit to start Urban Road has forever changed the trajectory of our family. Where does that leave us today as we head into a new year and a new decade? Listening to the Spirit's whisper will put us into places and moments and stories we could never have imagined or dreamed up for ourselves, because we never know where that breath will take us. It can happen in all sorts of ways. And here's the thing, that whisper, you can never figure it out. You can't plan for it. It might be a name that comes to your mind. It might be an impression or a scripture for someone. It might be a dream or an idea that God's given to you and it's not letting go. For some of you, maybe you've been wrestling with that next step that you know you're supposed to take and God is just nudging you to take it. It can be as simple, and this has happened to me so many times, where I will just feel someone's name just comes so strongly to mind. And I'll pick up my phone and I'll text them or email them or sometimes old-fashioned call them and say, I don't know why, but your name just has suddenly come strongly into my mind and I just want to call and say hi. Sometimes there's something specific to say. But I can't tell you how many times the response will be, oh my goodness, I totally needed to hear that today. I was having an awful day and that encouraging word came and that's made a difference. You never know what will happen with a whisper. And it probably won't feel comfortable in the moment, may not even make sense. But all God asks is that we would say yes to his whisper. And it'll bring us to a way, an adventure of living that will be unlike anything we've experienced before. Pastor Danielle Strickland says, disruption isn't a threat. It's an invitation that we are invited to move into a new normal. Renowned New Testament scholar and author N.T. Wright describes it as faithful improvisation. Isn't that a great term? That's how we're to live our lives, in this faithful improvisation, that we are listening for God's whisper in our lives and we just kind of respond and dance and move accordingly. What a way to live our lives. I began this message with the story of David Wilkerson and how one whisper from the Spirit called him, an ordinary man, to New York. Let me finish up his story. Wilkerson responded to those words, go to New York and help those boys. And he went. He didn't know where it would lead. Didn't know who he'd meet along the way. Didn't know how it would turn out. He just went. And he never met those seven boys. He tried on so many different occasions to get to them, to meet with them. And each time, the door always slammed shut on him. He later said, if I had gotten to see those original boys, I would have just gone home afterwards. I would have done what I had been asked, and that would have been it. But God had other plans. God had bigger plans. Wilkerson was later talking with his grandfather, and together they began discerning that maybe God wasn't asking him to just go to seven boys. Maybe God was asking him to take an even bigger step and to go to the streets of New York to work with gangs and young men and women who are caught and trapped in addiction and violence and trouble and who needed the loving arms of Jesus to be made wide open for them to come to. And so Wilkerson and his family moved to New York. They continued to follow the whisper of the Holy Spirit. They launched the first Teen Challenge Center and then later pastored Times Square Church in the middle of the city. Today, Teen Challenge has over 1,400 centers around the world, operating in 125 different nations, including one in Siberia that Michelle and I came across many years ago. And it all began with a whisper. When you follow the whisper of the Spirit, you end up in beautiful, unexpected stories. Let's pray. In the words of author Vincent Donovan, don't leave others where they are. but don't try to bring them where you are, as beautiful as that may be. Instead, invite them to go with you to a place neither of you have been before. Holy Spirit, as we have spent this morning talking about the power and beauty and mystery of the whisper, I pray that in this moment and in the coming moments and days and weeks, that you would speak to us, that we would come awake to your whisper in us. Sometimes that whisper will ask us to do big things. Other times it will ask us to do something small. And yet I pray that we would have the faith and the courage to say yes when that whisper comes, to say yes to the wild goose, to say yes to unpredictability, and to say yes to unexpected places and people, because we know it's going to bring us into some pretty amazing stories. And so I pray for each of us here today that we would listen for the whisper of the Spirit and that we would say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.